This is the audio for the poster entitled Decline of Gross Anatomy in Medical Education, Developing Mechanisms to Counter the Effects of Decreased Training in Gross Anatomy. As seen on the left column, the major problem has been that there's been curricular revisions in a number of institutions and compression of duration of gross anatomy instruction. And in the picture, in the view shown on the schedule shown on the left, you can see that the neural network entirety, the entirety of the neural network block, including gross anatomy, is now limited to 10 weeks. And in fact, the training of gross anatomy has declined. The duration of training in head and neck anatomy has declined substantially, as is seen in the histogram on the right. But there's been a dramatic decline that was over the year 2019 to 2020, and consistently eroding it afterwards. So the head and neck anatomy is currently restricted to about 8 days instruction, which is very short in duration. And the problem with the curricular compression, as is seen on the same column on the poster, is that there are a number of papers that have shown that extreme compression of duration of instruction dramatically decreases retention. And the plot on the left shows that from a paper that was in 2008 by Ling, that retention of material is a major problem in medical education, and particularly so for gross anatomy. And the problem is really related to a basic educational principle called the spacing effect, which compression of duration of study decreases retention. So it doesn't matter how many times you do it. If you do it in a very short period of time, you're going to be decreasing the retention of the information. And one solution that we've got had insofar as things to counter the effects is to utilize a fourth-year course called Surgical Anatomy. And this is a course in which single students dissect, as seen in the photo on the left. And they dissect in particular regions in which they are interested. But we've been utilizing it for generating teaching prosections, as is seen in the photo on the left, the prosection of the neck. And that was done by a fourth-year medical student. So I actually have started circulating a written questionnaire to evaluate the students' perceptions of the effectiveness of this course. And the small response that we've got so far is shown in the histogram on the right, which is that students found that there was a considerable benefit for dissection, a benefit of dissection in terms of consolidation of anatomy knowledge and integration of radiology. And they liked the idea of small groups or just a single person dissecting, but had very different opinions, had more varying opinions about independent learning, since the course is basically run as an independent learning course. So the other solution that we've addressed is to revise the pedagogy that we're using for the compressed duration. And this just shows you the new schedule that has been tries to completely integrate independent learning with nearly simultaneous live and iterative classroom lectures. So the block shown in blue at the top of this schedule here, which is in the middle column of the poster, are all independent learning video recordings that are on the web, whereas the parts in yellow that are in the afternoons are the live interactive discussion sessions or laboratory viewing of prosections or dissections. And so the way in which it was organized and really tried to be coordinating was that the afternoon sessions, particularly the ones after the first day, were very closely tied to the morning's viewing of the videos. And there were also preserved two laboratory dissections in the course, in particular the section of the cranial cavity and the section of the orbit, because those were viewed as among the most important and broadly applicable. So that's what we attempted to do, and basically the afternoon sessions were not mandatory, but a number of students did attend them, and they were also video recorded. So the basic approach that we've been utilizing the whole time is to, the instruction is based upon clinical symptoms. So it's really clinical anatomy that we're teaching. And the handouts, basically, these are charts summarizing what it is that's taught in the whole block. And it's a series of clinical syndromes, and the syndromes are similar to those found in the board review books, like the Q book and first aid. But we didn't design them based upon this, although there was a considerable amount of overlap, since the problem that we had was students were not attending class, but instead studying the review books. So since the mountain wouldn't come to Muhammad, Muhammad went to the mountain and basically incorporated the material the students were studying anyway for step one board exams into the teaching within the course. And it was based upon clinical syndromes. And the basic approach was that there was an independent learning lesson, and those lessons were the morning ones, in which basically we went over the more classic anatomy, and also in this case embryology, and discussed early development and the fate of the branchial arches and what happens with the pouches and grooves in the transition between 4 weeks and 11 weeks of development. And then in the in-class discussions, we discussed the clinical the consequences of this, in particular the branchial syndromes, including Treacher-Collin syndrome and branchial cysts, and how it is that they are diagnosed. And so what happened was that there was a delay between the basic science and the clinical things to allow the students to review the material. And the student performance has actually been relatively encouraging. This is just the most preliminary data that are currently available on the performance. And so we saw this decline in so far as the scores on the written questions in head and neck anatomy following their compression. And we believe that we've sort of halted the decline, if not produced a small increment, although this is only a small sampling of the questions based upon when they are going to be released by our Office of Medical Education. But this is showing the matched questions between the last two exams. And what has happened has been that the scores have improved substantially. Although the last 2 years, it's an increment, but not a completely statistically significant increment. But I believe we're headed in the right direction. And that the approach that we're using, the pedagogy, is effective. And we're going to be doing further data analysis. So the idea is that the integration of the basic science and clinical information was the key. And it was not just independent learning, and this is just an earlier slide that we had, but we looked at what was the effect of lab dissection on the performance on the exam questions, even though they were not directly laboratory, they were not directly questioned insofar as the subjects go. This is both lab and written. But the effect of lab dissection was actually to move in those areas that we did was to improve performance. And this is counter to this idea that independent learning was extremely beneficial, is counter to the earlier study that was done by Richardson and Surratt at our school, which, as I pointed out, because this was done on gross anatomy, was actually a data selection error, because they picked out, started as a baseline, an exam that was an outlier. And then when you look at the whole picture of it, there was no particular improvement by having independent learning. So I think that what it means is that independent learning is an important component of things, but is not the answer to the problem at all. And so the basic conclusions here are that we were able to utilize two approaches to counter the effects of highly compressed the surgical anatomy course and now the clinical integration within the classroom instruction, and that we were able to draw students in because we were utilizing subjects that they were studying for the national boards anyway. And they allowed us to give them a foundation in gross anatomy and online videos while functioning, while focusing the clinical, the discussion sessions on clinical syndromes. And we're doing, the analysis that I've shown you is only the most preliminary analysis and will be continued on. And so there will be more reporting about that. But our ideas support the idea that independent learning alone is not as effective as a pedagogy utilizing multiple modalities of instruction. And the last slide is just a discussion slide that I've had because my sense is that the American Association of Anatomy has not dealt with the substantial compression of duration of gross anatomy that's occurred. And so I leave you with the idea that the American Association of Anatomy fiddles while gross anatomy burns. Thank you.